very sobering to see which category in which everyone falls this morning. Now, I say that to remind us of the importance of appealing to God for what is right. To stand in a state of rightness before Him all the time. And yet we understand that the culminating event that makes a difference in all of this is that of the importance of baptism. This morning, if you have been immersed, you've been baptized in water for the remission of your sins, thus the Lord adding you to His church, then rejoice for that. But also remember that this morning. Go back in your mind and recall, it could be far or near, but remember that time. Remember baptism. Baptism is not a sprinkling of water. It's not a dipping or a dripping of water. It's not a just kind of a washing that is, like you would wash off with a hand cloth. It's not a pouring. The word baptize in the Bible means to submerge, to plunge down under, to submerge under water. That's the meaning, and that's the practice that we engage in today. Why? Because that's how God designed it. And yet, remember back to that time when you were submerged because you were lost and you needed the Lord more than anything else in the world. And it's in the act of baptism where God applies the blood of His Son to wash our sins from our soul. Revelation 1 verse 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Remember that time this morning. Now, it could be that you remember a baptism that maybe wasn't correct, or a teaching that you had been taught that wasn't consistent with God's Word, and therefore you were taught wrong and baptized wrong. Well, remember that and learn from it. That's why we go to God's Word. That's why we don't go to a theologian. That's why we don't go, although they're good. That's why we don't go to a Bible class teacher, although they're good. That's why we go to God's Word to find the answers that God has for our questions. And that's why we do go to God's Word. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice He said, make them disciples, then baptize those disciples. The authority there is into a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But don't leave them alone. Keep on teaching them. Keep on teaching them Jesus' commands so that they can grow and develop. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's clear, isn't it? Thank God for it. Still even further in Acts, the second chapter, in verse number 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was the answer to the question of those Jews on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do about the murder that we have committed? And Peter answered them. Still even further, Paul was told, Saul at that time was told by his helper, the one that was sent to help him, Ananias. Ananias said to Saul, why tarriest thou? We would say today, what you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And do you know what Saul did? He did exactly what he was told to do, and he became a Christian. I like those words there in Romans, the 6th chapter, in verses 3 and 4. They're very important. Paul has this to say. He said, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, in that passage, there is death and resurrection, burial and resurrection. Now, why is the need for that? Well, why do we need to, like Christ, be buried and raised again? Well, it's very simple. The reason for that is because, you see, sin kills our soul. And a dead soul needs to be revived, needs to be regenerated, needs to be resurrected. I want you to listen to a passage over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Here, Paul said, there in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, oh, this is important. He said, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, when they were dead in trespasses and sin, what did they need? They needed to be made alive. Verse 5 says, "Even when you were dead in sin, he made you alive," or made us alive together with Christ. See, that's the important part of this. A little bit further there in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. There the Apostle Paul, in a very powerful way, he says concerning baptism, he said, "We're all the children of faith by God in Christ Jesus." Listen to it. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ," if you've been baptized into Christ, what does he say? You put on Christ. A little bit further, Colossians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, they're powerful. There, Paul has this to say concerning baptism, and he doesn't mince words when he says this in verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who hath raised Christ from the dead." He goes on in verse 13 to tell us why we need to be raised. Are you listening to me this morning? You got it? You with me? "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive together with Christ, having forgiven you of all trespasses." One passage that I dearly love is 1 Peter 3:21. Right, Sam? Amen. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Doesn't get any plainer than that, does it? So, for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the two resurrections. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5, 24 through 29. Let's examine this text and learn from it. I want us to look at several things in this text, and will, I believe, benefit greatly. Now, let's read it first of all, and then we'll go back and comment concerning it. Now, just don't take the study that we have this morning and just take it, but go home and study it even further, please. Let this be just a jumping-off place for your study. Jesus here, in the midst of this chapter, and He's done many things. He said, beginning in verse 24, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, what is it that we can learn and should learn from this? Well, this morning I want us to notice that there are two resurrections spoken of in this text. There is the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Okay? We've got that. Now, what does that mean and how does that relate to baptism? I'm going to show you. Because it is evidently clear how important both of these resurrections truly are. Now, first of all, I want us to look at, just what I'm going to call three contrast. That is, the three contrast or three contrasts between the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Keep your Bible open. You got it? Keep your Bible open to John chapter 5 and verses 24 through 29. That's where we're working from this morning. This is what's called an expository sermon. The text is exposed. That's what it means. Let's expose the text and see what it says. The first contrast we see here is that there is a contrast between the two kinds of death from which we are raised. Look in verse number 25. There in verse 25 simply speaks of, notice it says, the dead. Okay, there it says, they shall hear the voice. That is, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they shall live. Well, here we see that that is the spiritual dead. As we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, speaks of a woman that is dead while she liveth. You know, a person can be dead spiritually and be alive physically. Well, here we're talking about the spiritual dead. But notice down in verse number 28. In verse number 28, notice the little phrase there, "Marvel not, for the hour is coming in the which that they are in the grave shall hear the voice." Those who are in the tombs, in the grave, well, there's the physical dead. So, first of all, there is a contrast between those that are spiritually dead and those that are physically dead. The physical dead, of course, Hebrews 9, verse 27, "It is appointed that man once to die, and after that the judgment." James 2, 26, "The body without the spirit is dead." So we understand that there is spiritual death in verse 25. There is physical death spoken above in verse number 26. Now, in regard to the implication here, let's notice. The implication of the spiritual dead is clear. Now, there in verse 25, "Not all that hear the voice of the Son, not all of them shall live, but those that do will live." Notice, verse 25, he said, "The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live." What about those that don't hear the voice of the Son of Man? Will they live? Obviously not. You know, a person can be preached the gospel of Jesus Christ all day long and still not be alive. The physical dead fall into a universal category. Notice there in verse number 28, "All that are in the graves shall hear His voice." There is everyone. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime, do you know what's going to happen to every one of us? We're going to be viewed in a visitation and buried in a graveyard somewhere. That's sad to say, but nonetheless, that's reality, isn't it? "All of those that are in the tombs will hear the voice." What will that be? That's the second resurrection. Now, notice here that there is a second contrast, and the second contrast is a description, or the contrast between the description of the events of resurrection itself. First, notice those that we spoke about that shall live in verse number 25. Well, no doubt these relate. Go back to verse number 24. "Those that live, what about them? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent him hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Folks, I want to be that way. I want to live. Here we have, no doubt, an appropriate description of the spiritual resurrection from baptism. Remember when we read Romans 6, 3 and 4? "Like as Christ died in baptism, like Christ was raised, we are raised." Sin kills our soul. And a dead soul needs to be raised from the grave. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Why is he a new creature? You see, he was dead, but now he's alive. I don't know of anything newer than that. Still in this description here, this description of the event of resurrection itself, the bodily resurrection is clearly pictured as coming forth from the tombs. Go back down to verse number 28. "Marvel at this," or "marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice." And what will happen when they hear His voice? "Shall come forth." There's only been a few resurrections on the face of this earth, hasn't there been? Remember when Jesus raised His friend Lazarus? Remember when Jesus came out of the grave? I challenge Benny Hinn to go out here to Roselawn Cemetery and work his magic. As one little fella said, it ain't gonna happen. Because you see, it takes the voice of the Lord. And when He says, come forth, folks, the graves are going to empty. There's a third contrast that I want you to see. And there is a contrast in the different times when these two resurrections will occur. First, Jesus identifies, and I want you to go back here and notice in verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." Now, both phrases here, "is coming" and "now is," no doubt confirms the transition was beginning to occur at that very moment. Now, it did not officially occur, of course, until Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, but Jesus indicates that its time is already present because everything is poised for it to begin. Secondly, go down to verse number 29 and notice here, as He says, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection," as it says, of damnation. That is prefaced by verse number 28, "For the hour is coming." That is the hour when it will happen. Jesus describes what will happen, as we read there in verse number 29. Speaking of end times, and the second resurrection will occur in eternity. That is when the eternal reward for the spiritual alive. And yet, what about those that are spiritually dead? He says, those that come forth, some will come forth unto, and as it says, unto the resurrection of life. Why? Because they have done good. Others to the resurrection of damnation. Why? Because they have done evil. Folks, there's the contrast that we see between the two. Now, what are the conclusions that we can draw and should draw from this? I don't want you to notice three conclusions that we should draw from this text, John 4, 24 through 29. First of all, notice that there is a distinction between the first and second resurrection, and it is crystal clear. The first resurrection, dealing with a spiritual resurrection, regeneration, that time that takes place only in the soul at the time of baptism. No unbaptized person will be in heaven. What about a person that was taught wrong? And maybe they thought that they had been baptized right. Read Acts the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 5, and you'll see some folks there that they thought that they were fine with the Lord, but they came to find out. They found out that they were not right with the Lord. But they were working on the assumption, we're right! But they had not been baptized correctly. Romans and Colossians speaks of the importance of being buried with Christ, so to be raised with Him. Second resurrection. There's the bodily resurrection. Our life, and we die and we go in the grave, and then the end of time comes. What will happen? We will be resurrected at the end of time. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15 both describe these events. That's conclusion number one. It's obvious, it's true, and it's clear. Secondly, the only way to experience the first resurrection is to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. See, the first resurrection is dealing with the condition of the soul. The only way to be right in God's sight is to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Let me show you a passage over in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." Remember, that's in baptism. "Over which the second death hath no power." Later in that text, in Revelation 20, John says, "The sea and dead gave up the sea and gave up the dead that were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." He said, "Listen carefully. They that were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire." Okay. Those not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Now notice this one sentence description. This is the second death. I'm teaching you right this morning. If you've not been baptized right, be baptized this morning so that the second death will have no power over you. Third conclusion, notice this. Christian and non-Christian will experience the second resurrection. You see, if a person dies, whether they're a Christian or not, they're buried. And on that great day when the Lord returns and He calls forth all to come out of the tombs, whether one is right with the Lord or wrong with the Lord, guess what? They're going to come out of the tombs. But now notice that everyone will be resurrected. But go back to verse number 29 here in our text and notice everyone is resurrected. "And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that have lived in accordance with God's will while they were alive will experience eternal life." But not everyone. He says, "And they that have done evil unto the..." Yes, they'll be resurrected too, but they'll be resurrected unto damnation. Folks, why is this important? Why does this relate to baptism? To get right with God, to come into His fellowship, for Him to add us to the church, to experience the first resurrection that relates to our soul, we must be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. That's why baptism is so important. A few years back in a gospel meeting, a man came forward. He was an elderly man. I didn't even know his name. He shook my hand and I told him, I said, "Sit down here on the front and the local preacher will be with you in just a minute." He wouldn't let go. He said, "Brother preacher," he said, "years ago I thought I was saved." He said, "But tonight I learned that I've been living in sin all of those years and I want to get right with God. Will you baptize me in water for the remission of my sins so the Lord will add me to the church?" Well, you know what? Why I answered that. The first resurrection, it's spiritual in nature and speaks of the regeneration in baptism. The only means of experiencing the spiritual resurrection is submit to water baptism where life is found in Christ. The second resurrection, all will experience that resurrection. However, the saved will be resurrected into eternal life and the lost into condemnation. That's the difference between the two resurrections. And over the last week, I said and I wrote out, I'm just going to kind of open myself up to you right now. I wrote out 17 different conclusions to this sermon. 7 different individual ways that I was going to close this sermon, make it propositional in nature and say, folks, if you're not right, get right today. And do you know what I did with all 17 of those conclusions? They're on my desk over in the annex, and that's where they'll stay. Because I thought, There's really no words that I can say to conclude this lesson that are adequate. No way that I can really tell you what you need to do. And so I thought the only place, the best place, the place to go, folks, it's Scripture. He who believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he who does not believe shall be what? I could write 17 billion conclusions and it would never touch the glorious hem of the garment of the words of Jesus. This morning, if you're not in Christ, I want to beckon to you to come to Jesus. Come to Him in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism so that He in His blood will wash you from your sins and the Lord will add you to His church. You'll be on your way to heaven. But you know, as I spoke of those three groups at the beginning, what if you fall in the category of one that has been baptized but yet fallen away for some reason or some cause? Come back to the Lord today. The two finest words in all the English language, in every language around the world, are these: Jesus saves. And if you will be saved this morning, come to Him as together we stand and as we sing.